Hi, this is Susie from Mini Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties. Based on the solid principles of love, faith and hope is expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the Next Step, the year-end edition, the wrap-it-up for 2011 edition of the Next Step. This is part of the expanding vision of the Inishu's mission and is a means of providing Armodoxy to the world. As the good lady told you, it's being brought to you by epostle.net. So if you're ready, we invite you to just kick back right now. It's a nice mellow day to do that, you know, in between Christmas and New Year, and take the next step. Well, we are back here for the next step. I've got to tell you, it has been exciting. I mean, you know, people, it's been such a wild ride because, you know, it is a really quiet time here in the United States between Christmas, December 25th, and the New Year, January 1st, of course. And, of course, we as Armenians have an extra 6 days that we get to deal with the Christmas, with the Christmas fanfare, let me say it like that, okay? Because it is very special and a very sacred time of year for us. And so it's kind of, it's an interesting situation. And I think as Armenian Orthodox Christians, we have this best of both worlds kind of thing. You get to jumpstart the economy, you know, in December and get it ready for the new year by making all your purchases and doing all your shopping. And then you get to celebrate the new year. And what do you know? It is a sacred time because January 6th is right there. It is a sacred time to celebrate the birth, to celebrate the baptism, to celebrate the birth of the ministry. Have you ever noticed that in the Nicene Creed, when we get together and we recite the Creed of Nicaea, you know, that's from the 4th century, when the first entire ecumenical gathering, let's call it the first Christian church from all corners of the world were gathered, and they sat down in Nicaea to put together the creed of what we believe. We believe in God the Father, we believe in God the Son, we believe in God the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the church. And this is a beautiful statement that is recited every Sunday, not only in the Orthodox communities, but also in the Catholic communities, in the Anglican communities, basically in all the ancient apostolic faiths. And there's something very interesting about it, because we say we believe in the Father, we believe in the Son, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. And in defining the Son, they go through incredible pains, well, obviously, because there was so much confusion over there at that time. Different people spreading around heresies, spreading about different beliefs of what the Son, Jesus Christ, is. And so in that formula, they came up with a very concise definition of who Jesus Christ is. As you know, the Son of God, begotten of the Father, the only begotten, that is, of the essence of the Father, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. And it continues to say that we believe, you know, that he came, he was baptized in the River Jordan, he was crucified, He resurrected, he ascended to heaven, and he sat at the right hand of the Father. And he is to come to judge the living and the dead. And it's always been very interesting to me because we go through all these pains of explaining who these people are, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we go through pains of going through his earthly existence, so to speak, during those few years that are recorded in the Gospels of Jesus coming and being baptized from his baptism to the time of his resurrection. It's always been very interesting to me that we leave out something very, very important. And I'm not talking about an event, but I'm talking about the message. I mean, we don't say that we believe also in the message of Jesus Christ. That is the message that has been universally accepted as the Christian message. And that is the message of love. And, this is a creed. This is the creed. This is what we believe. This is what we believe. And so when we come down to Armadoxy, when we come together and we gather for this next step, it's really to promote that missing element of what is the message of Jesus Christ and how does that message pertain to us today in the Orthodox tradition, basically taking the past and becoming that last link, so to speak, on a long chain that begins from the beginning of time, is accented by the saints, and each of those links, if you were to imagine this chain beginning from the beginning of time and coming, and you are the last link. And basically, you all know that a chain is as strong as its weakest link, right? You can have an incredibly strong chain, right? Made out of, some of the hardest steel that there is. But if you have one link that's made out of aluminum, right? That chain is as strong as that one little link. Okay, and if you pull it apart, it breaks apart. It doesn't matter that the rest of the chain is solid. And so you've got this giant chain, and it is some of it is just incredibly, incredibly solid, and some of it, of course, there are some weak links along there. But that's in the past. And so we have arrived at the final link, and we are that last link on this giant chain. And so here we are. And it's a choice that you got to make. Are you going to be a link that's going to be solid? Are you going to be a link that's going to be open enough for the next link, right? Because you don't want it to end there. You're not going to be a closed link. You're going to be an open link so that the next link can grab onto it. So you better be solid because you don't want to be responsible for breaking this chain, right? You don't want to be the aluminum link. You want to be the steel link. Yeah, of course. And then it's going to go on. And that's the whole strength of the Christian church, of Christianity, that love never ceases. And that love is defined by our actions. Jesus Christ gave us the ultimate symbol, the ultimate example of what love is by sacrificing himself. And so now we are in this Christian, in this Christmas time, and we talk about giving to one another. Well, what are we giving? Well, those gifts are secondary, tertiary. Those gifts are not even important. What the true gifts, and I'm talking about those material gifts, of course, the true gifts are giving of ourselves, giving the love that we have in our hearts, sharing with one another, and passing along this beautiful tradition of loving, caring, of having compassion, of seeing beyond ourselves. That's what it's all about. So we come down to, what is the message of Jesus Christ? What is that message? Okay, we say it's love, right? Yeah, well, how do you define that love? Well, I've got a little special for you. I'm going to tell you how this evolved. A few weeks ago, I received a very nice call from my good friend in Armenia, Adam Krikorian, and he told me, we listen to your show all the time. And so last week I did a shout out to him, and I got the nicest little email from him. And it reminded me that just about 8 or 9 years ago, we produced a CD called Focused Vision together. And on that focused vision, yes, it was the songs of the Armenian Divine Liturgy, sung by a group of children. And on there was two little tracks where it's basically a recitation of the message of Jesus Christ. And I thought that at the end of the year and at the beginning of the new year, how appropriate if we could play that message of what Jesus Christ taught. And that's coming up. That's going to be way at the end of our show. It's sort of like the ending. So I want to just give you as a preface to our show today and tell you this is something to look forward to. In a few minutes, I'm going to be playing that track. It is a nice reminder for all of us, and I'm sure you're going to appreciate it. Hey, we've got a good show for you today. Ani is here with a New Year bubble. That is really nice, huh? And of course, Ken and Susie are in the studio. We just said goodbye to Linda a couple days ago. Did you hear the compass? Wow, that really is evolving very nicely. We said goodbye to her in the studio, of course, and looking forward to seeing her in the studio next week. But it is exciting. It is exciting because we're talking about issues that I don't think anywhere else. I should just say it is not being spoken about anywhere else in the Armenian Church. It's about how to take the faith and put it into practice. And what does it mean to be an Armenian Christian? And we hear so much of this day in and day out about how great the chain is. My chain is stronger than your chain, and we are this great chain. But at the end of the day, what are we really saying? I mean, you've got some big, big issues that are taking place. Here we are at the end of this year, and I'm going to be reflecting about what happened in 2011, some personal notes as well. But you look at how the year is ending, and you look at basically the criminalization of thought in France, and you have the church leadership saying hooray, and really, where in all of this, where does free speech fall into the mix? How do you process all of this? I mean, if you didn't hear about it, in France they criminalized the idea that you cannot speak against the genocide. You cannot say it didn't exist. Well, that's fantastic. It's fantastic that you legislate truth. And I'm all for that. I love it that they have passed this legislation. I think that people should speak truth. But on a fundamental, if you're a real purist, I mean, can you really legislate thought? Can you really legislate speech? And of course, you know, there is free speech. And we all have that freedom to say whatever we want. But there are certain laws in life. Of course, you cannot go into a crowded theater, for instance, and yell out, fire! Hey, fire! You can't do that. That's against the law, okay? And you can't say, well, I have a constitutional right to free speech. And so my free speech in that theater is to get up and say, fire! Well, no, you're going to get arrested. You've caused panic, you've caused pandemonium, you've put people in danger. Well, in the same way, can you do the opposite? Can you legislate that people must speak the truth? That's an interesting thing. That's an interesting thought. And, of course, that gets into the realm of religion. It gets into the realm of ethics. And what are ethics? And unfortunately, we come back down to the same thing. It is being legislated, and therefore, there's a lot of politics involved. Armenians are very excited because France is, you know, siding up with them and against Turkey, and these are all politics, of course, that are being played out on a different level because, I don't know. I don't want to sound like the eternal skeptic, but I am skeptical of all these people because everybody has different motives. And number one, including number one for their country, is the most important. And so when you approach it from a spiritual point of view, and this is whether you're talking about world politics, local politics, or the politics within your home, your community, within your family, this applies. If you approach it spiritually, you find out that the spirit has so much strength in it. It has so much power in it. And this is something that I think is developing in us as we're taking the next step. That's what the next step is about, right? That there is a power that we have. You don't have to rely on other people. I mean, isn't that right from Christ's message? Is that you are empowered. There is neither Jew nor Greek, it says, Holy Scripture says. There is neither free or slave. There is neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And so the Christian is really empowered to be that messenger of God. And if you're the messenger of God, your message is the message of love. And all the other things have to fit into that, not that love has to fit into everything else. You see, you may approach life with love, but everything kind of fills in once you understand that you are that ambassador of love. And that love begins on the local level with you, loving yourself, loving your family, loving the loved ones around you, loving your community, being able to find that harmony within that community. And of course, it just, like the pebble thrown into the pool, it just expands, and there's rips and little tides that start going out from that little pebble, and you start affecting everyone. We start off every show with a song of the day, and then I'm going to come back with some reflections. I'm picked out a really great song. It is one of my favorites. It is from the Gore Collection off of his Spirit album, and it is called The Day, The New Day. And how appropriate for the new year.
Hinet sava bait nore ora inne ora yev hui sen ora yes I'd can up so sush haskatsa u yer par matneris veradartsa ins getashemin him ganzarani դրան վրա պատրաստ կախված էր բանալին Երկար ճանապարհներից ողնած ես պառկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին հառած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Ինչ եմ ես գործրել, ինչ եմ ես փնտրել, ինչ եմ ես գտել, ինչ եմ ես ստացել, ոսկի արծաթ եւ խանգարված քուն։ Վերջում փոշի ու տափակ քարի բեկոր, սա է այն ամենը, ինչ կգտնեն իմ տեղը, Ինձնից հետո եկող ճամփորդները Երկար ճանապարհներից ողնած Ես պառկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին հառած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Երկար ճանապարհներից ողնած Ես պառկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին առած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Երկար ճանապարհներից ողնած ես պառկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին առած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին, այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին,
Unmistakable voice, musicianship, and talent of Gore Mkhitaryan. That is off of his Spirit album, which we've been featuring during the month of December. I want to thank everybody who made a contribution this month and you were treated to the Spirit album. I hope you enjoyed it. That is my personal favorite, and yes, you have probably made the connection. I use that on a lot of my themes. In fact, in the In Step with Christ series that we're producing on U.S. Armenian Virginia and through the diocese, and available at our Armadoxy channel on YouTube. You will find that that is my theme song, The Day. I love it. Nore Ora. And it is, it talks about dreams. It talks about newness and a freshness. And that's the wish that we have at New Year. I always love New Year because it is just a time. And people take it so seriously. But if you look at it, it's just one more day on the calendar. It's a few days after the equinox. So here in the Northern Hemisphere, the days are getting a little bit longer. The shadows in the park were longer yesterday. And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, I know the days are getting a little bit shorter, but whatever it is, on January 1st, we get an opportunity to say Happy New Year and celebrate the new as we say goodbye to the old. It is just an appropriate time. And that time happens to be right between the two Christmases, between December 25th and January 6th. And why not? January 1st, if you really think about it, right? I mean, if you apply logic to this whole thing we call life, right? If you think about it, we separate the years in B.C. and A.D., before Christ and in the year of the Lord. And of course, now there's new expressions of BCE, before the Christian era. In other words, we're acknowledging that it is the Christian era. This is before the Christian era. And after the Christian era, well, CE, Christian era. Anyway, whatever you want to call it, you figure that it is divided. Time is divided by Christ, the Jesus Christ, the appearance of Christ on earth. And so December 25th, if you figure it out and you want to say that, okay, that was 2012 years ago, what happens on December 26th? Is that in the 2012? Well, if it is, then that should really be the new year, right? You know what I'm saying? Between December 26th and January and December 31, you've got a few days there where you should be in the new year, but you're not. And likewise, if you celebrate on January 6th, you have a few days that are part of the old year, but they are really not, right? We define January 1st as the new year in the Christian era or in the year of the Lord, 2012. But January 2nd, the Christmas hasn't come yet. So basically, we're playing these games with numbers and different calendars and stuff like that. And you know what? It's all an opportunity. If you take it too seriously and you look in there too much, you're going to go crazy because it doesn't make sense. It's illogical. And people try to build these models and stuff like that. I heard somebody the other day talking about, well, it couldn't have been December 25th, because we know that shepherds in that Jerusalem area was just too cold. They couldn't be out on the hills. Man, give it up. Give it up. You don't know the date. None of the Gospels have recorded the date of Christmas. Actually, the true way that they've stumbled on the date, if you look at the Annunciation of the Virgin Mary, in other words, when she became pregnant, was on April 7th. That was the traditional date. And that was calculated based on when Zechariah entered the temple and so on. There's a long set of calculations that are done. So exactly, since Christ was perfect, there was a perfect pregnancy, exactly 9 months from April 7th, you get to January 6th. So, you know, I mean, there's formulas like that. And then, of course, we know the story as it goes. They changed the date to December 25th. Now, you're going to go crazy thinking about all this. So instead, take the Armadoxy approach. Kick back for a while. Just kick back, relax, and realize that they are all opportunities for us to proclaim Christ. Where? In our lives. In the way we deal with one another, in the love we share with one another, in our ability to reach out to people and to share with one another. Compassion, feelings, empathy, going out and becoming the best person that we can be in the sight of God and in our sights as well, so that we feel good. And trust me, when you feel good, your life goes much better, right? First of all, because you could put your head on the pillow and you feel good at night. You can sleep. You get solid sleep out of it. Doesn't matter how much coffee you drink. You know that? You know that? Caffeine is not the enemy. The enemy is the inside desires, the inside troubles, turmoils that keep you awake. Yeah, you know it. You know it. Especially those in the Armenian tradition who would drink that Armenian coffee with all that, all the grinds at the bottom. Yeah, you could fall asleep right afterwards if you're comfortable, if you're okay, if you're at peace with yourself. And that peace and that harmony is what Christ gives us. So the Christian is really invited every single day of his life, his or her life, is to find an opportunity to make Christ's presence real. And so here we are, end of the year. We're end of the year and we're looking for the new year to come. This is a great time to make those resolutions. I know people try those resolutions all the time. Every year you have this opportunity to try to improve yourself. One of the big ones is, right, kicking old habits. Oh, kicking the smoking habit. Everybody tries to give up cigarettes at the new year. Food. Excess of food. We are going to lose weight in the new year. Of course you can lose weight today. Of course you can kick the habit of smoking today. But no, the new year, it's just an appropriate time, January 1st. And it's not just smoking. It's not just eating. There's all kinds of vices that we have. We heavily use these vices. Now, what I'm proposing to you is, okay, use January 1st. It's an opportunity. It's fantastic. But instead of just giving up, let's make it positive. What can we claim on ourselves? Can we claim to be a little bit more compassionate? Can we claim to spread a little bit more love? Not in difficult manners, okay? It's always easy to look out there and write a check to that hungry child in Africa. And you need to do that, okay? You need to extend yourself to places that you wouldn't think normally. It's always easy to look somewhere else. But how about right in your life? Can you make that commitment to somebody in your life who is in need of an extra few minutes, an extra few minutes of attention, of compassion, of caring? Can you make some time in your busy schedule to contemplate? Yes, that's important. That contemplation we call prayer. Okay, make that a New Year's resolution that I will start off each day with a 10-minute, 15-minute time where I stop everything. I will end the day where I stop everything with a prayer. And I just think, I meditate, I reflect. Can I make some time every day to read a prayer of one of the church fathers, to read a prayer of compassion, to read an example, a small little story, and make that story, use it as an example. Share it with somebody, right? And use it as an example. Use the prayer as an example. You become a living example to someone else. I mean, there are so many things that we can do on the positive side of the new year. Yes, let's try to do away with some of those negative habits. But don't center only on that. Don't just wipe away the negative habits. In fact, replace them with good habits, with good things that you want to bring into your life to make you that complete individual. And of course, if you fail on January 1st, you decide that you're going to just love everybody, and January 1st at night, you just pick up the phone and you get into an argument with somebody, don't say, okay, resolution's over, it's finished, done with, been there, put a fork in me, I'm done. No, no. January 2nd's an opportunity too. So is January 3rd. Every single day becomes an opportunity, okay? But January 1st, it's a nice one. So let's take advantage of it. Let's take some of the old ones and replace them with new habits. Okay, we're also at the end of the year. It's an opportunity for us to look back and reflect on what happened. Sure, personally, we went through all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of challenges in our personal life. Collectively, we were all on this planet called Earth, and we share a collective life. And we've been through many, many challenges. I mean, you remember the earthquake in Japan? That was this year, yeah. And the subsequent tsunami. Radiation. Remember the nuclear plants that went under? We saw those pictures. We saw people braving it, going into it, radiation escaping, you know, major panic throughout the world. And this is the world that also went through all kinds of economic difficulties this past year. the collapse of economies. We had Greece, Italy, Spain, Turkey. Yes, Turkey comes up too. A lot of stuff going on in the world. And we call this the Good Ship Earth. We're all on it. And we're all members of this planet. And we have really one means of survival. And that's, it's not politics. I'll tell you that. It is for us to understand and have compassion and to reach out to one another, to share with one another. So collectively, we can look at the past. We can examine the past and see where we're headed, what we're doing. Now, how about personal past? Well, I went through some difficulties this year, some very physical, big difficulties, health issues. And I saw that there is a power that is within and without, that I learned so much. And I'm sure if you look into your life and you find the different things that are in your life, that what you experienced, if you take the chance to reflect and not just look at them as just these oddball things that happened in your life, but use them as opportunities to reflect, to think about, contemplate, and then use them as opportunities to move forward, you will find strength. You will find that those stories of your past give you a chance to create a brighter future. Last Saturday night was a very special day for me, a day of reflection in many ways. It happened to be Christmas Eve, and here in Glendale we got together and we celebrated Christmas Eve. Yes, Western Christmas, Eastern Christmas, whatever you want to call it, December 24th, is being recognized. I mean, there's actually pilgrims that go to Bethlehem. Yeah. So why not? We had pilgrims that came to our church. It was a packed house. And you got to remember that Glendale is pretty much an immigrant community as far as the Armenian church goes. And it was packed. And we constructed a live nativity. Very special to me because I had, as you know, I went through some difficulties during the year, physically, health-wise. And one of my doctors had a child, so I invited him to play the part of Joseph along with his wife, who played the part of Mary, and their child became the Jesus there. And I had my surgeon, she had brought her children to participate, and they got dressed up as the shepherds, as the little barnyard animals and the angels, along with so many others. I mean, I hope you had a chance to check out our Facebook page, the St. Peter Facebook page. There's so many beautiful pictures of these little angels. And I was up there. We sang Christmas carols. We recited the scriptures. It was just so beautiful. It was such a magical evening. You know, you had people there. You had a congregation who was there receiving the Christ child. We had a small little band. Yes, people got together and they played their instruments. It was so beautiful. And there I was with people that cared, people that loved, people that were so instrumental in my welfare, from my physicians to my surgeons, to my wife Susan, who was next to me throughout that entire cancer and still was there that night preparing the little children to come down the aisle and participate in this. So I looked around and I see that there are so many people, that we have so much to be thankful for. And I think that that kind of reflection is necessary at times like this, at the end of the year. Because it is very easy to end up very negative. And yeah, life doesn't work out the way we want to. Not everything falls into the place that we want to, the way it is. But there are a lot of things that do fall into place. There are a lot of things, there are a lot of people that do make a difference. And I recounted that my physician, you know, he told me a couple things during my time in the hospital that I'll never forget. One of them, when I thanked him for the wonderful care, and I thanked my surgeon, who is just absolutely incredible. She is probably the greatest. I can't believe it. I can't believe that there are people like this in the world that are able to really transcend themselves and really understand themselves within the person of someone else. And my physician told me, he says, you know, don't thank us because, you know, we're just the hands of God. It is God who is the physician and we're just the servants here. And I'll never forget that. He also told me something very important that I always come back to. He said, you know, our job as physicians, as surgeons, as doctors, is not to add days to life, but add life to days. That's beautiful, huh? Adding life to days. That's very important to remember. It's not what you live. It's not how many days you live. It's not how long you live. Yes, we all like longevity. I wish that this could go on. It's beautiful. But it's how you fill those days. What kind of life you enjoy in those days. Adding life to days. It's very important. And that's the reflection that I leave you with today. You can look back on this past year, 2011. Many, many different challenges in your personal life. Definitely challenges on a global scale within our communities. And still challenges that need to be overcome. I mean, basically, we have collapsing economies throughout the world. People in despair. People having difficulties. There's still wars going on. And yes, we started off the year with a reflection on genocide in Darfur. It's far from over. Yeah, we call it different names. Politics gets involved and we call it military actions, wars, but it's basically that hatred, that absence of love. And the same is true in our own lives. We have our own difficulties, whether they are health issues, whether they are economy-related issues, relationship issues. They are just personal issues that we need to deal with ourselves. Who am I? What am I doing here? What is the purpose of my life? So take advantage of this time. Yes, we are at the end of the year. Look back. Look back, but not too hard. Not too critically. Use it as a time to reflect on the past and see how you're going to be planning out your future. And not the future of a long term of goals, but rather a future that is lived every day. Realizing that today you have this beautiful gift that God has given you. How you can plug into this. How God is within you and without you. He's guiding. He's within you. He's giving you the answers. He's the voice within. He's also the voice without. He's showing you the path. He's leading you. Find time to contemplate, to pray, to share, and become the person that God wants you to be. That's what I wish for your new year. That's what I wish for my new year. That's the way I approach my new year. Here's Ani with today's bubbles for the new year.
Today's spiritual bubble is a recipe for the new year. First, take 12 full-grown months. See that these are thoroughly free from old memories of bitterness, rancor, and hate. Cleanse them completely from every clinging spite and pick off all those specks of pettiness and littleness. In short, you want to see that months are freed from all of the past negativity. Have them fresh and clean as when they first came from the great storehouse of time. Then, cut these months into 30 or 31 equal parts. Do not attempt to take the whole batch at one time. So many people spoil the entire lot this way. Prepare each month one day at a time. Into each day, put equal parts of faith, patience, courage, and work. Some people omit this ingredient and so spoil the flavor of all of the rest. Then add cups full of hope, fidelity, liberality, kindness, prayer, meditation, and don't forget rest. Leaving this out is like leaving oil out of salad dressing. Just don't do it. And add one well-selected resolution. Put in about a teaspoonful of good spirits, a dash of fun, a pinch of folly, a sprinkling of play, and a heaping cupful of good humor. Mix well. Make sure that each bit is covered completely, fully with love before baking. Let it cool, but not too much. You want to make sure it's ready before the clock strikes 12 on New Year's night. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the winds of 2012 to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. You are just so good. I can't believe it. You know, people should know that we do not plan these in advance. I do not tell Ani what we're going to be doing and everything. And obviously, yeah, we're at the new year. You figured kind of like a new year bubble. But the theme, did you catch that? It fell right into what we were talking about today. So thank you, Ani, and I wish you the best of 2012. From all of our listeners, I know you get a lot of email, and from all the email people that let us know how much they appreciate your bubble, God bless you, and God bless all the work that you're doing over at Children's Hospital. You're the best, and the best bubble that we have. Hey, those are our spiritual bubbles. We look forward to a 2012 filled with spiritual bubbles. We should do like a best of, right? I think, yeah, that's the problem, is that they're all really the best of. Anyway, thank you, Ani, and God bless you. Well, I did promise you something very special, and in reflecting on the new year, I do have to tell you about a book that I read during the past year. It was actually, I read it in between doctor's visits. I would take the metro to the doctor, and this tells you how many times I had to go back and forth, and it became my companion on the route. It is by Kurt Vonnegut. And definitely, I'm sure everybody's heard of him as an author, Kurt Vonnegut. And it is a novel called Bluebeard. It was written in the 1980s. And what is it about? It is about a guy named Rabo Karabekian, sort of like an autobiography of him. He is writing about himself. It is Kurt Vonnegut, obviously, so it's a hoax autobiography. But he talks about Rabo Karabekian, who is a child of a genocide survivor. And there are many, many interesting thoughts in here that reflect on the Armenian situation. Now, this is, of course, coming to us by Kurt Vonnegut, so expect it in a different format, right? But still, nevertheless, I mean, here it is, a reflection about his father, the genocide survivor. Okay, he says, he welcomed all proofs that the planet he had known and loved during his boyhood had disappeared entirely. That was his way of honoring all the friends and relatives he had lost in the massacre. You could say that he became his own Turk over here, knocking himself down and spitting on himself. Interesting, huh? Sometimes self-reflection, sometimes that's what we do. We knock ourselves down. And interesting, Kurt Vonnegut refers to that being his own Turk. Obviously, for the Armenian, it would be that enemy who is knocking him down. But who is the real enemy? It's the self. And think about that. I just leave that out at you. This is Kurt Vonnegut. Bluebeard is the name of the book. Just thought it was a small little insight. There's a lot of little things that I've underlined throughout the book. It is a very good read. It's an interesting read. I understand, according to the critics, one of his better books. Okay, we are at the end of today's podcast, and I did promise you a little special. What is the teaching of Jesus? What does it come down to? Well, Holy Scripture points us in many ways to the beautiful lessons that Jesus teaches us and lives in his life. And back in 2002, yes, a long time ago, yes, prehistoric, we produced an album called Focused Vision, a CD, a collection of church hymns, Armenian Badarak hymns, with the name Focus Vision, because that's where our vision has always been focused, on the centrality of Jesus Christ. And this was produced by a gentleman named Aram Krikorian. I shared with you a small story earlier in today's broadcast. We've been exchanging a few emails back and forth. It reminded me that we have this little gem available to us. I've shared with you many selections from Focus Vision throughout the years. We've used it as the song of the day. We've use them as transition pieces in between stories. Now, those songs, as most of the album is, features the youth choir at the St. Gregory Armenian Church, where I was the pastor at that time. I had an incredible youth choir. And today you're going to hear, well, a selection that features a much younger, 10-year younger, Father Voskin. It is a selection from the Sermon on the Mount, and is featured from the 2002 Focused Vision CD.
Focused
From the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if that salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you will be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Therefore, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Do not store for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For I tell you, the heathen strive for these things. Instead, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any one of you, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if a child asks for fish, will any of you give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
A short message for us all from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. That particular reading comes to us from the Focused Vision CD. The flutist that you hear, the flautist that you hear in the background, that is a personal friend, Andrea Karazian at the time. Just received a Christmas card from her yesterday. I have been out of touch with her for several years now, but she played on that CD along with some great musicians and some great voices. That is the Focused Vision CD, and we'll put a link on our show notes today so you can get information about that and all of the wonderful things that we talked about today. There'll be links on today's show notes. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show and the end of our broadcast for 2011. God willing, the next time we meet will be in 2012, and it happens to be Christmas Eve. We will be meeting on January 5th, where I'm going to share with you a very special story that comes to us on the Theophany, the revelation of God, and how God is revealed not only 2012 years ago, but how God is revealed every single day in our lives. I hope you'll tune in next week where we'll be able to share that story with you. Listen, it has been a pleasure to be with you today. I hope you've enjoyed today's show as much as we've enjoyed producing it. I want to remind you to join us throughout the week at all of the different venues that we have. We are at epostle.net, where you find apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. We are at inhisshoes.org, and from there you can find all kinds of links to our regular shows, to our different broadcasts, and do check out our different channels that we have on YouTube. Do check out our newest and latest production, which is called Compass with Linda Zadoya. That comes out every Tuesday, but all of the archives are there on the website. So do check it out. That's Epostle. Very easy to remember. Think of apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Epostle.net. So for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, and Ani with her bubbles, for all the wonderful people behind the scenes, like Radujan, who puts together this beautiful music we enjoy at the beginning and end of our show, for Susan and Anush for all of their prayers, and for the wonderful team we have at the St. Peter Armenian Church and Youth Ministry Center, here's wishing you all of the best of God's blessings into the new year and always. And we look forward to taking the next step with you again next year.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.